Welcome to Youth Beat Radio on WCRS Community Radio for Columbus. I'm Lena Al-Khatib alongside John Erbaugh, and we're your hosts for tonight's show.
Coming up on tonight's show, a look at a high school student who has her own business.
Also, a look at the life of Jay-Z.
But first, let's kick it off to Karen with Trend Watch.
This is Karen with your latest installment of Trend Watch. For this week, since I just recently overheard some of my friends talking about it, I've decided to cover the most recent trend in the music industry, also known as voice synthesizing. Where you're most likely to hear an example of this would be on any typical top 40 station. It's most common in pop music. Still don't know what I'm talking about? Okay, think Britney Spears. Not the old stuff, when she was still young and mostly sane, but the stuff she's churning out now. How it doesn't even sound like her. Or like any human at all, for that matter. Ah, yes. That would be a synthesized voice. Now, a couple of years back, most artists didn't use this excessively, and they used it in moderation, so it actually sounded pretty decent most of the time. But now, it's all there ever is on the radio. And personally, the synthesized voice hurts my ears. A little bit of techno is cool for a small section in a song. It gives off, you know, a cool effect. But the entire song? Ah, please, you made it into the industry, so you have to have some type of talent. Show it! But right now, it's the cool thing to do. Though, as mentioned before, I'm not really sure why. Not to pick on poor Britney again, since she's already a huge scapegoat, but she makes such a great example. Take, for instance, her stuff when she was, you know, about 19 years old and still working for Nickelodeon. Yeah, you know, cute little Britney. She had an awesome voice. I myself was never a huge Britney fan, because I was still in my I'm a tomboy, I'm going to boycott everything girly phase. But looking back, there's no denying it. She had talent. She had a great, low-range, throaty voice and could seriously belt out the lyrics. But her songs now? Her voice is thin and whiny and nasally and nothing like she used to be. It's sort of become the norm to expect from pop artists of today's generations. But looking back on what Britney had, the difference is huge. I assume her manager, whomever, was probably pushing her to use the synthesizer with the argument that, well, that's what all the new hip starlets are doing, aka the Britneys of our generation. But that's just the thing. This is just my opinion, but her comeback might have been a little stronger if she had demonstrated the same vocal strength that she was able to 6 or 7 years ago. Voice synthesis is the electric-sounding, upbeat voice, and sure, for dance parties and stuff, it's fun to jam out to. But it makes it so hard to determine who in the industry actually has talent right now, because, let's face it, they all sound the same. So, right now, a really popular music group, Owlcity, has been gaining a lot of publicity recently. Literally everyone I know has been raving about Owlcity. So, of course, I went on handy-dandy YouTube and looked up the very famous song right now, Fireflies. Oh, actually, I just checked their website a couple minutes ago, and in fact, their North American tour is sold out. So, if, you know, any of you haven't heard of them, you're probably thinking, wow, they must have tremendous talent. Yeah, well, not really, actually. It's so synthesized. The proper name for this genre would actually be synth pop, and that's where the synthesizer is the dominant instrument being used. So, I don't get it. What is so special about Owlcity? Oh my, look at that lovely computer-generated sound that can be easily replicated. Yeah, it's not exactly what I'd be calling straight-up talent. Now, don't get me wrong, it's catchy music. I just fail to see the originality or any of that, which leads me to wonder, just how long is this trend going to last? It'll be interesting to see what people start classifying as talent, since it's all virtually sounding the same. Anyways, just maybe something to think about. This has been Karen with this week's Trend Watch. Now back to Lena and John.
Neato.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Youth Beat Radio on WCRS Radio for Columbus. We're your hosts, Lena Al-Khatib and John Erbaugh.
This past year, the nation has gone under some economic troubles. But in the economic recession, not all small businesses are failing. Some are actually growing.
One in particular is Hood Hood's Cupcakes, run by Upper Arlington High School senior Hoda El Husseini. I sat down with her and we talked about what it's like to start your own business at such a young age for tonight's Underground Story. I'm sitting here with Hoda El Husseini. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Oh yeah, definitely. No problem.
So how did you even come up with the idea of starting your own business?
Well, I'm in the IB business and management class here at the high school, and I really enjoyed business. And I was at the college fair, and they had this little section for entrepreneurs. And I enjoy baking, and I enjoy making things with my hands. And my parents had been really selective about the kind of job that I could get. And so I decided, instead of trying to get the perfect job that they wanted, I would make my own job. And so I just started it. I just made some flyers, and I just put my name out there that I catered cupcakes and desserts, and anybody who needed that should give me a call.
Wow, that's really cool. I didn't really think of that, to start my own business if I can't find a job. So I guess, why business? Like, is that something you've always wanted to do, or is that something recent?
Actually, it's really recent. Like, I would have never thought I would go into business, but it's what I plan on studying in college. But I had to do another higher-level class to get my IB diploma, and business management was one of them, and it was either going to be business and management or IB World History. And I don't really like history very much, so I took the business class, and I just sort of fell in love. I think what I like the most about it is that it's common sense. You just have to think about the topic, think about what's going on and how it's applicable to the world and how it's applicable to business concepts. And that's all there is to it. And I like that. I like the real-world application of the class.
Do you think you would be running this business for a few years, or how long do you expect it to last?
I definitely hope to go further with it. It's not something that I just want to do for a year and then stop. But I don't think that this is the one thing that will define me for the rest of my life. I mean, it'll be something that I do, but it's not going to be who I am.
How did you even get interested in baking in the first place?
That's a good question. Well, as I said before, I really enjoy making things with my hands. I like, you know, I like doing something and then having something tangible to show for what I worked for. And I guess I'd bake for my brothers and I'd bake for their friends, and they would always love it, and they would always be like, "You're so good, I don't know what." And so instead of just having that capability there, I decided to utilize it and go further with it.
Pretty cool that you have a hobby like that and you're making money off of it.
I know, it's pretty awesome, not gonna lie.
But how do you, like, manage to juggle school? And I hear you do a lot of volunteering in this business.
Well, complete honesty, I don't get very much sleep. No. Actually, I don't get sleep at all. But there are times, I do sleep sometimes, but there are times where I'll be up till like 4 in the morning making and decorating cupcakes while I still have to do my gov and my business homework, and I haven't even thought about econ. But there are other times where I'll have everything planned ahead and I'll have managed my time better, and I'll get a full 8 hours of sleep a night. And I think the best way to describe how I manage my time is I just start and I finish. I don't think about trying to fit everything in. I just do what I have to do, and that's it. I don't think about what's going to come and what's already happened. Do it.
Do you think this experience will better help prepare you for the real world to come?
Oh, by far, definitely. I mean, A, the time management is key, and B, I mean, just having the responsibility of so many things on my shoulders, something that actually matters. I mean, I guess it may sound trivial that somebody, cupcakes matter, but somebody is relying on me to make them something and bring it to them finished, meeting their specifications. And so knowing that I have to do something and I have to do it well is huge. I mean, that's what you have to do in everything. And so it's definitely prepared me for, I guess, the real world.
Yeah, that's true. Like, in the real world, you can't say, "Oh, I didn't finish this project, can I have more time?" It's either you get it done or you don't.
Exactly.
I know you have some of the best bake sales at our school. What motivates you to do that?
Well, volunteer is definitely a big part of what I do and how I live my life. I really can't explain it in any other way other than the satisfaction that I get from seeing the person in front of me better off or happier or in a better position than what they were before they'd met me or before I'd interacted with them. And so with the bake sales, that's just a tiny way I can contribute. And I usually pick a cause that I'm passionate about, and I'll pick a day to make a bake sale that's after a long weekend, and I'll bake all weekend, like continuously, starting Friday, ending Sunday night. And I bring in and I raise a lot of money for a cause or an organization that it's important to me. And I do that because of the whole making a difference thing. I mean, that's what I want. I want to make a difference.
Yeah, your bake sales get pretty elaborate. I mean, you have little cupcake holders and tablecloths.
Well, the most important thing is that it looks good. I mean, somebody isn't going to buy it if it doesn't look good. The eye eats it before your mouth does. And so if you have a really nice presentation, really nice display, then you'll get more people wanting to buy it.
So I can see how you'd want to go into business with this whole idea of wanting to help. And
yeah, definitely. I hope to use my business to get further in my service goals and further in making the difference that I want so badly. But it's going to be tough because there are a lot of costs for my business. And then besides the costs, I mean, I want to make some profit. And then I still want to help out with different causes. And so it's going to be interesting seeing how I can handle all that.
It's good that you volunteer a lot. It seems like today in America, not as many people help their community out in times of need, especially now in the economic recession.
That's definitely a fact. It's just more people, I mean, they need to put aside their little personal goals and look at the bigger picture and see how they can help not just themselves, but how they can help everybody else around them. And the need definitely exists, and people are capable of doing it. They just need to realize that they are, and then we can work towards fulfilling that need.
Yeah, it seems like too many people are caught up in their own lives to notice anyone else's.
That's definitely true. And, I mean, it takes a lot to realize that the world doesn't revolve around you.
That's very true.
You know, that's really cool that someone our age is already on their way to achieve their dreams.
I agree. It's pretty awesome. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Youth Beat Radio on WCRS Radio for Columbus. We're your hosts, Lena Al-Khatib and John Erbaugh.
Jay-Z has had a really interesting life. I look deeper into his life for tonight's Listen to This. Hello and welcome. I'm John, and today I'm talking about one of my favorite hip-hop artists, Jay-Z, or should I say Sean Corey Carter, for that is his real name. He was born December 4th, 1969, in Brooklyn, New York, in the Marcy Projects. Don't want to. It's pretty bad place, bad part of town. He grew up just with his mom since his dad left him at the age of 12. He always was waking up his family by playing beats on the breakfast table when they were all asleep. He was just making beats. So finally, his mom actually broke down and bought him a boombox for his birthday, even though they didn't have that much money to spare, and he pretty much lived his life around that boombox, or that is what started his career in music. He, unfortunately, was into the life of crime at the age of 16. He shot one of his friends, actually, because he took his jewelry. I guess that is a bad thing to do. So eventually, he got away from crime and started getting to music real hard. He was looking for a record deal as a solo artist, and one of the CEOs of Rockefeller Studios, Damon Dash, convinced him that Jay-Z is good for Rockefeller. So he signed with Rockefeller Records in 1995 and released a song called In My Lifetime. And it was actually a huge hit in New York. It was underground, so only New Yorkers really knew about it. He actually got some calls from some really high-up rap stars, such as Ice Cube, Notorious B.I.G., Biggie. And they really liked what Jay-Z was doing because he was solo and he was just coming up like all they did. So they joined him on a song called Brooklyn's Finest. And it was kind of like a diss to Tupac. If you know anything about Notorious B.I.G. and Tupac, they got beef. Jay-Z wrote a song called Up. And it found its way onto the Nutty Professor soundtrack, which to me is a really funny movie. The winter of 1997, Jay-Z was one of the opening acts of Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, Diddy, whatever you want to call him, on the No Way Out tour. But conflicts with the tour's promoters led him to abandon ship soon after it began. Later, a short film about a group of hustlers in Brooklyn streets also served as a showcase for Rockefeller artists like rapper Memphis Bleek, R&B duo Christian, and mixtape star DJ Clue, who I've actually never heard of. Good to know. Yeah, so he's had a few platinum albums. You know, just a few platinum. Nothing big. Such as, he's had some platinum albums. One of them is actually quadruple platinum, and that's Volume 2, Hard Knock Life. Yeah, he got a several mil from that. Actually, Jay-Z is a very financially successful. He's a net worth of $150 million because he owns 4040 Club, which is a bar and grill in Brooklyn. Pretty much designated to baseball. He's a CEO of Def Jam Records, which is another recording studio, recording company for rappers and hip-hop artists. And he's also part owner of New Jersey Nets in the NBA. So he's pretty much financially stable, let's just say it that way. Another fun facts, he went to George Westinghouse High School, and that's where Biggie Smalls, Notorious B.I.G., and Busta Rhymes went. I thought that was kind of cool. Of course, he's married to Beyonce, who, that's the greatest fact. Jay-Z just came out with a new album, that's pretty much why I'm talking about him. It's called The Carter Three. His new hit song, Empire State of Mind, will be played right now. So I hope you enjoy Jay-Z, and I hope you enjoy the song. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm out in Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from
New York.
With OG at a Yankee game, made the Yankee hat more famous than a Yankee king. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot, corners where we selling rock. Africa been body, home of the hip hop. Yellow cap, gypsy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners it ain't fair, they act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked.
city, it's a pity half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a plug, special ed, I got it made. If Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. Three dice, CeeLo, three card Marley. Labor Day parade, rest in peace, Bob Marley. Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade, long live the King, yo. I'm from the Empire State, that's... Curves need blinders so they can step out of bounds quick. The sidelines is lined with casualties who sip the life casually, then gradually become worse. Don't fight the apple Eve, caught up in the in crowd. Now you're in style, and in the winter gets cold, in vogue with your skin out. City of sin, it's a pity on a whim. Good girls going bad, the city's filled with them. Mommy took a bus trip, now she got a bust out. Everybody ride her, just like a bus route. Hail Mary to the city, you're a virgin, and Jesus can't save you. Life starts when the church in. Came here for school, graduated to the highlight. Ball players, rap stars, addicted to the limelight. MDMA got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.
Here's another song, this time from the Beatles.
Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover. Something in the way she don't want to leave now. You know I believe in how. Something in her smile, she knows that I don't need no other lover. Something in her style that shows me don't leave now. You know I believe in how. You're asking me when my love grows. I don't know. I don't know. Dun, 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 dun. Stick around. But I don't know. I don't know. Dun, 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 dun. No, I love that woman of mine, and I need her all of the time. I'm telling you, that woman, oh my.
in blue. Something in the way she knows. All I have to do is think of her. Something in the things she shows me. I don't want to leave her now. You know I believe in how.
I never knew he did so much in his life. Well, that's it for tonight's show.
Tune in next week when I'll be giving an update on the music scene.
And I'll be talking with another student from Upper Arlington High School and how they are working on to reach their dreams.
Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, this has been John Erbaugh alongside Lena Al-Khatib. Youth Beat Radio is produced by students of The Ohio State University and Upper Arlington High School. Dr. Christy Lakey's executive producer. The program is supported by the Department of Human and Community Resource Development at The Ohio State University. Ohio State University Extension, broadcasting classes at Upper Arlington High School, and Simply Living. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the sponsors.